As was mentioned in the prayer, it is such a privilege to be able to assemble together. Certainly appreciate all the prayers and all that we did in the first assembly as well. Certainly appreciate those that led us in song and did the readings, and I thought everyone did a wonderful job in doing that. And I just hope and pray that we do get something from that, that it does help us at least understand a little more about maybe how some of these writers of songs got their inspiration. They looked into God's Word, and I will not say that all songs are that way, but hopefully the ones we led today God would be pleased with, and I hope that He was pleased with all that we did. And if any time I do anything like that or say anything up here that you disagree with, and if you want to say something to me about it, I'd appreciate that. We can look in God's Word and certainly don't want to do anything that's contrary to God's Word. What we are talking about this morning, certainly we came from the song, He Leadeth Me, but we would, in today's English at least, He Leads Me. And as was already expressed in prayers this morning, and also in all that we did, we would want that to be said. Now, the question is that true? We might say it, but that doesn't make it true. But the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ, we really are saying in this that we believe that God will lead our lives. Now, He has said that He's doing that now through His Son, Jesus Christ, in Hebrews 1. That it is Him that we need to hear. That it is Him that is leading us, but we know that it is God, period. And when we think about that, we understand it is because of the divinity and the understanding, and as was again expressed in prayers this morning, about us how great and awesome God is, and that's something we'll never be able to fully understand, even though we can look around at creation, we can look at His revelation, we can look at one another, and yet we will never be able to fully grasp the greatness of God and how great He is. But again, as was expressed in prayers, with all of that greatness, He loves us so much that He does not, as was pointed out, beat us into submission. He wants us to follow Him willingly. He wants us to understand and know because of His great love. How would we know all about that? Well, certainly we would know about it through His Son. We took the Lord's Supper this morning. We're mindful of that great love that was shown when Jesus did what He did on the cross. So, having already read my mind on this, we're going to John chapter 10. And certainly this is what I was leading up to. This is the aspect of Jesus that we really want to talk about today that maybe will help us to have a better relationship with Him, or if we don't have one with Him at this point and we know we need to, maybe it would help us to better think about where we are in this life. Jesus said to His disciples, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." This is an amazing passage of Scripture up to this point. He's making some beautiful points about how this all works and how it's going to work. And he goes on, he used this illustration, the Bible says, but they did not understand the things that he spoke to them. So he goes on. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." Now he's going to go on. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I've received from my Father. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Trying to help us, them, and now us, to better understand the relationship that we should have with Him. That this is beyond anything that's ever been before. That there has never been a Jesus Christ before. The rest are just thieves and robbers. The rest are just trying to take over something they have no right to. And from that time forward, people have tried to take over and they have no right to. Only Jesus is the good shepherd. No one else has done what he did for the sheep. Now, when we think about sheep and a shepherd, one of the things that we can clearly know from this, but just knowing a few things about this, we can know that sheep are pretty much helpless on their own. They are in a flock because they need each other. But that's not good enough. Sheep can't do that on their own. Sheep need someone to guide them, to take care of them, to make sure that they're led out, to make sure that they are fed and all of this happens for them. They can't do this. That's what he's trying to compare us to. You cannot do it. You need someone. Follow me. What's interesting about this is how all these are used in the Bible. And I always think about how John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world," and using him as that sacrificial lamb. And now we become the sheep of this flock that he set up because of his sacrifice. And that's an interesting picture to me in thinking about these sheep in areas that we don't think of the United States when you're thinking of this parable, by the way, because you might not get the same picture. But if you were in areas where they're still doing the same thing like this picture, you would see exactly the same thing. They will take them out, and then in the winter they will bring them in, and they'll take care of them and make sure, and they'll go out just like the Bible says and seek the ones that are lost. Jesus is the shepherd. The Bible clearly says that in talking about other shepherds, that is, people, men that he has placed over local congregations, that he wants to lead local congregations. He is talking about them, but he wants to make something perfectly clear about this. They have no right to change anything. They are still sheep, but they're serving as shepherds over a local flock, because he wants to make this clear in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. He talks about these other shepherds being examples of the flock, but he is the chief shepherd, and as a result of that, they will gain a reward for their hard work in local congregations, these men who will serve as elders or shepherds of local congregations. But did you notice in this, I'm only going to use one verse from John 10, that he makes something very clear in several places in this. It's not just a matter of sheep. He owns us. He bought us with his blood. He is the shepherd that owns us. And he says in John 10, verse 12, one of the places he says this, he talks about the hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. And he would say in the previous verses, I own the sheep. They're mine. I bought them with my blood. Talking about future. That's what he's going to do. But not just that. As was pointed out again in the prayer, he's up front leading. He's not in the back pushing us. In Matthew 10, verse 38, he was talking to them about how they had to be willing to leave anything for him. But he says, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We're not in lead. We may be walking with him, but we're following his lead. He is out in front leading. He led with everything that he did in this life. He did not do one thing, as we will talk about. He's not driving us. In John 10, verse 4, he's not driving us at all. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. I'll lead. Just follow me. That's all he asks. In John 12, verse 26, we find him saying, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. That's the beauty of this. If you'll just follow me. And how many times in Jesus' journey here on this earth do we find him, people coming up to him saying, I want to follow you. And he said, do you? And then he would express to them what they would need to do to make that possible. And you know, some of them wouldn't do it. They didn't realize what he had given up, and he says, you have to give up things if you want to follow me. He served as a perfect example, one we can follow without a problem. In 1 Peter 2, 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. How many of them? All of them. There's not a step you can't follow in His life. He lived a perfect life, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He goes on to say that He bore our sins on that cross. But He's the one who loves the sheep. Not with just any kind of love. Not just making an expression, oh, I love you. He proved His love. And in John 15, He would talk about what He's going to do. And starting with verse 9, he expresses this, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. In other words, I was equal with the Father. I came to this earth. I have followed every command. I submitted myself to His will. Why wouldn't you do that in return? You want to express your love to me? Keep my commandments. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We know he went way beyond that, but he did lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. We can clearly see in this what is needful. And he willingly gave his life for the sheep. In John 10, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And as we read in 17 and 18, he says, and I do this willingly. I could lay it down and I can get, no one's going to take it from me. I'm doing this willingly. There is no greater shepherd than this. And he is, as he put it, the only shepherd. Everyone else is subpar. And some, even worse than that, some would lead the sheep astray. Some would not follow what needs to be followed, and they would lead the sheep astray, but he would never do that. So if he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. When we think about this, sheep without a shepherd, they're just scattered. He talked in Matthew 26 that before his death, that when he died, they literally would have no shepherd. And what would happen to them? Well, as sheep do, his disciples just went everywhere. They had said, I'll never do that. I'll never do it. And yet they did. And he told them that they would. He says in verse 31, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Already been prophesied. And sure enough, sheep with no shepherd, they just get scattered. They get lost. They don't know where they are. Because we have needs. We need protection. If there's one thing I firmly believe in His protection. I believe that He'll be there for me. I believe that He'll take care of me. I'm not concerned about that. Regardless of what happens to me in this life, He'll be there. And then He says this in John 10, 12 and 13. That He will definitely be there. He says, these other folks won't do that. Because they'll leave and the wolf will get the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. That'll never happen with me, he says. Never. He gives us guidance. He lets us know which way to go. We have no concept of which way to go. We don't know what kind of food we need. We don't know what we're in need of. We don't know how to lead this life. We can't figure it out. But he says in verse 25 of 1 Peter 2, going on from where we were earlier, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Do you want to know how to live? Look to Jesus. Look to His Word. He'll do it. But with that comes some chastening. Sheep, they can wander off. And what does He do about that? Well, He puts us through things to make us better, but He also chastens us in ways that we need. The Hebrew writer would talk about how chastening is necessary. It may come in the form of some things in our life. It may come in the form of people coming up to us and talking to us and trying to get us to change our lives and follow the shepherd. But in Hebrews 12:5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked for him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. It is necessary that sheep know this, that they need something. And sometimes when they misbehave or when they're not doing right, they go through things that will make them better. And he provides every spiritual provision we need. We receive all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. In John 10, verse 9, what's he for? He says, well, the thief is not, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Oh, he's not talking about I'm going to have all of these things in this life. He's talking about what I can have after this life, that I have a spiritual life and it's very abundant. And the last thing we want to talk about is we need to hear his voice. The problem is we are listening to everyone else and we don't get our guidance in the right way. We don't look for the authority of Jesus Christ. And in John 10, verse 3, he says, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them. That should give us a clue on what we need to do. And in verse 16, and other sheep I have, talking about Gentiles that would be brought in, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now this is contrary to what we hear all the time, where people talk about many flocks and many shepherds. They will talk about there are many out there, and they're all good. Just go to the one you choose. That's not what he says here. He said there's only one, and that's his. Upon this rock I will build my church, thus I must hear his voice. So how do we become his sheep? Well, he says we've got to come through the door. Now, that's interesting because he talks about coming through this door, but he says I'm the door. So how do we get there? We go through him. Well, what did he say? He says, well, hear me. You need to listen, he said, to me. I'm the one you need to listen to. He who rejects me does not receive my words, in John 12:48, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. It's my voice. Listen, he says. Listen to my voice. Where are you? Listen to my voice. Come back. And in Romans 10:17, we know where we get that. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. We need to look into the Word of God if we want to hear Him. But we have to believe in Him. It's a work, he says, to believe in Him. In John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. You have to search for this. You have to look for it. It is difficult. You have to have that faith that we talked about in class this morning. You have to believe that there's a God, that He's a rewarder. You have to believe in His Son. And it takes something on our part to get to that point. And we find in John 8:24, therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am, it's been added in there, He. He's saying, I am. Eternal. If you don't believe, then you can't believe in me. I am who I said I am. And then he talks about repentance in Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And sure enough, in Jerusalem, in Acts 2:38, what was the very first thing that Peter said? Repent. Turn. See, the problem is sheep are going that way. He's saying, come back this way. You can't follow me if you're going that way and I'm going this way. You have to be following me. And if we won't confess Him, He won't confess us before His Father and before His angels in heaven. And in Romans 10:9, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our heart that God is raising the dead, we'll be saved. That's what it takes. We have to put our total confidence and trust in Him. But what does this have to do with anything? We talked this morning. What did Samson's hair have to do with his strength? Nothing. Other than God said, you have to have long hair if you want to have strength. We know hair will give you strength. We know not having hair will take away your strength. But it did with him. We know that baptism in and of itself will not do it. But if we don't obey him and we're not immersed in water for the remission of our sins, we have not heard his voice. He's the one that originally told them that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Did they preach that in the first century? They absolutely did. In Colossians 2, 9 through 12. For in him, that is in Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You want to cut off the filth of the flesh? You want to cut off sin? He says that's the way you do it, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. How? Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So if you're sitting out there wondering, well, I don't need to hear his voice. I don't need to do this. He says, you better. I'm it. I've told you what you need to do. I am the one. I am. You need to obey me. If you want God to work on you, if you want God to remove your sins, then you have to be immersed in water for the remission of sins after all these other things, because it will do no good to be immersed if you do not have faith and if you're not willing to believe in him, repent, and confess. So how do we stay his sheep? Well, we have to continue in his word. Paul would tell Timothy that you can't quit, Timothy. You have to continue in the faith. You've got to continue in the things which you've learned in 2 Timothy 3:14 starting. You have to continue in those things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing that from whom you have received them. He said, you've known these things from childhood. He had learned those Old Testament scriptures. He said, you knew those things. You need to continue in them, because as this new law is coming into place, you're going to have to do those things. Because we find out all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Sheep need all of this. They need all of this instruction and everything. In Revelation 2:10, we have to be faithful even unto death. So let's go back to the original passage, the 23rd Psalm, and we'll finish with it this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Does it remind you of John 10? I can take care of you. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Does our cup run over? If it's not running over, then we're not following him. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see what he does? Our shepherd leads us to the green pastures. He leads us to the good food. He leads us to the good water. He takes care of all of our needs. He provides this spiritual water that takes care of us. He provides this spiritual food that will nourish us spiritually so that we're ready to go. You see all these things he does? He leads, he restores, he leads, he prepares, and he anoints. It all comes from him. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow in turning, James 1. And I know in this case, David, in talking about, I'm sure, about our Lord and Savior in this, was talking about the fact that he depended on God in this. That he walked through the shadow of death all the time. We know that Saul tried to kill him. We know that in all those battles he was in, he was in the shadow of death. He was always concerned about the fact that he could die, but he wasn't. Isn't that amazing? He wasn't. He knew God would take care of him. And he said, I will fear no evil. That's confidence. That's saying, God, I know you'll take care of me. I don't care what's going on around me. Though the whole world may be burning, I know that you care about me. I know that you will take care of me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How many times have we ever thought about when I was growing up, I'm just so happy for my parents, their rod and their staff, figuratively speaking. Amazing how it works. Sometimes it was in one stick, sometimes not. But when you look at this, it could be used to get the sheep back. It could be used to fend off. It was used both as a weapon and as a help. It is the most amazing thing when we look at it, sometimes two different ones, a rod and a staff. And the shepherds carried these because that's all they had. And someone made the point one time, it's interesting that we still use the word rod today, and it was a figurative language for gangsters about carrying a gun for protection. This is all about him protecting us. Did you notice, though, that when he talked about these, your rod and your staff, they comfort me? Why would they comfort us? Because we know he'll pull us back. We know he'll take care of us. We know he'll always be there for us. And he's at the same time driving off all the enemies. He's taking care of us. He's got that shield built around us. Just like Satan said to God about Job, you've built a hedge around him. Isn't that a beautiful thought that God builds his hedge around us? How else could we stay away from the evil one if that wasn't the case? And then finally, I know as a young person, I used to think it was surely followed me, but that's what it says. He says, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Under the shepherd, it is always goodness and it's always mercy. I will never get what I deserve if I follow him. I deserve the wages of sin. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the beauty of this is, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've been talking about how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. Well, we can be in this house of the Lord forever. It never ends. Just like He is the I Am, we can become eternal in nature in that we can have eternal salvation. And there we have that picture again of that shepherd taking care of the flock. This does not even come close to giving us a true picture of what Jesus does for us every day. Christ is our shepherd. He is always leading us. He is always out there in front. He's always willing to reach around and pull us back when we go astray if we'll follow His will. He's always there for us. And I'll tell you something. I am thankful every day to be His sheep, to be a part of His flock, His life. As a shepherd, was a sacrificial life. As has been pointed out at the table and again in prayers this morning, what a sacrifice. He left heaven to come in form of a human being in this life and then gave up that physical life, death on the cross, that body for our sins and the blood on the cross. So in return for His protection, His guidance, His chastening, His spiritual visions, yes, so very little in return. Think about it, just sheep out there grazing and being taken care of. That's what He wants us to be. So today, hear His voice and obey. If you have any needs, we would encourage you, please, today, make it the day of salvation.